Amen.
Amen. I want to encourage the worship leaders who has led in the Lord's service thus far. I often tell people it is a privilege to work in the Lord's service. Matter of fact, it's a privilege just to be a Christian. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name." That word power there means privilege. He gave us the privilege to become sons of God. And somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you, because he didn't have to give us the privilege, but he did. So I stand before you thankful to God for the privilege he gave me to preach the gospel of his dear son, Jesus Christ, to his beloved, his people. I also want to thank Brother Brooks for depositing spiritual currency into my spiritual bank account. And to Brother Stroud and Brother Smith, I commend you all for assisting Brother Brooks in facilitating the process in my spiritual growth.
Okay.
Now, I want to lift for a subject on this evening: enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
That's my title. Making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Okay.
That's what I want to. That's my message on this evening. However, I want to begin tonight's sermon by suggesting to you all that the phraseology in verse 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "There is one body." I suggest to you that that is a behavior metaphor. Which occurred in the local church. The way Paul corrected this divisive mentality in the church in Ephesus, he says, "There is one body." What I'm suggesting to you, when Paul says there is one body, he is correcting a malignant behavior in the churches at Ephesus. And also, I want to suggest that when he says there is one body, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to a denomination, because there was no denominations. He says there is one body, because they weren't acting like a body. Number two, what was going on is you had Jewish Christians and you had Gentile Christians. They was conflict. It got so bad, they said, "We're going to split." So he says, "There is one body." And like today, it might be divisive divisive attitudes in the church today. That's why there's so many splits in the churches of Christ. But I come to tell you today, there is one body. Read it. Get verse 1, chapter 4. We're going to start.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy.
Right there. That word, walk worthy, is not the putting of feet, one feet in front of the other. It's a lifestyle. He says, walk worthy. Why?
Of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
That's the reason we should walk worthy. The word walk means live. In the word worthy, it's an adjective. It tells you how you should walk. Walk worthy. Worthy is the state we should walk in. That phraseology, walk worthy, it describes how a Christian should walk. So then the phrase walk worthy, it gives you the idea of one who lives his life in such a way that that it reflects the image of Christ.
Okay.
Now he goes on to explain how to walk in two participle phrases. How to walk worthy. Because he's not going to leave it up to us how to walk. How do I walk worthy? Verse 2.
With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Right there. That's how you walk worthy. The word lowliness means a humbleness of mind. The word meekness means gentleness. He said, you walk with a humble mind, with gentleness, with long suffering, with patience, basically. He said, that's how you walk as a Christian. Why? Why must I walk worthy? The word vocation there means calling or invitation. It's a calling of the divine invitation invitation to embrace salvation of God. That's why we should walk worthy, because you was called out of darkness in a marvelous light. So then he ordered you to walk as such. That word calling, the last word called means order or command. He commanded us to walk worthy. And verse 3 says,
endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
That word endeavoring right there means make haste or do. He said do to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word bond there, it comes from two original Greek words. One is soon. The other one is desmos. Soon means with or together. And desmos means bond or bound. So then the word soon desmos, bond, means that which binds together. Okay. It's the idea of, see, I'm a assistant grocery manager, and sometimes we get distribution. We get cereal, we get Fruit Loops, we get Fruity Pebbles, and we get Kellogg's, and we get Cheerios, all in the same package. It's one, and it's a bundle. It's different flavors in one package. So that's the idea he gives you in the bond of peace. When we come together with different ethnies, different races, different thoughts, come together as one. And so he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Then he says, there is one body. That word bond, there, it gives you an idea of ligaments. And what ligament does is hold the human members of the body together. And that ligament there is peace or love. How do I know I'm showing love? He says, when you long suffer with me.
Okay.
How do you know I'm loving? When I have a loneliness of mind. Yeah. How do you know I'm loving? When I'm meek toward you.
Okay.
So love is the ligament. It bonds the church together. And so Paul has to write to tell the church there is one body. Now I want to pause right there and park a little bit. Now concerning the Arms Ministry, it is a good program to help the church while there is no elders or deacons. Also, it aids those men who have a desire but think of himself not to be ready at this juncture in his life. Therefore, the Arms program, the Arms Ministry, it is a good tool to exercise men. In other words, it facilitates the process of being an elder or a deacon. On the other hand, church, listen to me. Don't use it as a crutch. For life. In other words, I'm saying, don't let it hinder God's plan or God's purpose for leaders in his church. Read chapter, verse 7 for me. I'm sure we're talking about.
What verse?
7 of Ephesians 4.
But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Right there. See that word? Gift right there is, it's called Daria. That's a gift. It suggests it's like a present. It's something offered to God. It's a sacrifice. What he's saying is, God give man all grace. The grace was Jesus Christ. Now read verse 8.
Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Right there. Now, that word gift is called daran. It means something given to you like a gratuity, like you give a waiter $10 at a restaurant. It's a gift. And that gift is to operate in. And what's the gift is? Verse 9.
Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?
Keep going.
He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Keep going.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Right there. Right there. That's God's purpose for leadership in the church. Verse 12 says what? For what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
Perfecting of the saints.
For the work of the ministry.
For the work of the ministry.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
That's the purpose for God's leadership in the church. That's why we can't do without. Because without the leadership, we cripple as a church. Because he put this in place. That's what that word gift with. And those men got to be qualified. Because he give them the ability to do what they do. Teachers got to be real teachers. They got to be facilitators. They got to be instructors. Because that's what he put in the church. To edify the body. Elders got to be qualified. And be an example. Because he used them with the teachers and the preachers to edify the body. The preacher got to preach. That's how the body is unified. He used those to unify the body. Keep going.
Till we all come in the unity of the faith.
Right there. Stop right there. Right there. Don't say no more. See, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That word unity means oneness. Because it's a body. Oneness. We all got to agree on the same things, speak the same things, have the same mind. And we can't do that unless leadership in place. Because that's what they're for. Keep going.
And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Keep going.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Keep going.
But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
You see what he said? He says, the leadership unify his body. Then, when we all unify, we connect to the head. That's the point. He wants the body to connect with the head. That's the one faith. And what involves faith? He says, have a lowly mind. That's a faith. Baptism is a faith. Meekness is a faith. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. And when we come to the unity, we are one man with Christ. Keep going. He's going to tell you in verse 16.
From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
See, every member got a responsibility. You got a duty. Every member should love. Every member should be meekness. Every member got to come together in the things of God. And we'll be a church that's presented to the Son. That should encourage somebody today.
Amen.
Because we got to show unity. If we don't show unity, it's a sin before God. When I say before, I'm using it as an adjective, means in front of. When God looks down, at his church, what do he see? Do you see divisive attitudes, or do you see unity? If you see divisive attitudes, you won't get in. So unity is important in the church. I mean, see how the world teaches? It's still unity. I mean, it's still divisive in the world. That's why blacks on one corner, whites on the other corner, Mexicans on the other corner, Africans on that corner, still divided. It should be in the church. Shouldn't be in the church. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Let me show you what he's talking about. Ephesians 2 and start at verse 4.
But God, which is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Verse 5.
That was verse 5. Verse 6?
Okay, verse 6. That's it.
Okay. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Paul was correcting conduct in the church. He says, you Jews and you Gentiles, we're both, God put us together to be one. That's how church should be one. No matter what a brother or a sister do, you still got to love him. Mm-hmm. You still got to be patient with him. Because we once were like that. I tell people all the time, I say, man, me and my oldest son, we clash often. And I'm seeing something. That's how I'm just like him. So I had to find a way to get along. Because he's just like me. Many of us are just like each other. We don't even know it. Same attitude. So you got to bear with your brother. That word forbearance means it's giving you a picture of Christ, how he buried the cross. He buried it. The weight. That word patient means, it means to endure under pressure. And Christ bore the cross. Spit on him, he still walked, bearing that cross. Mocked him, he still walked, bearing that cross. For me and for you. Forbearance. That's what we need. We want to that was going to hold us together as a body. This is one body. Highland Heights is one body.
Amen.
Come together as one, because God expects it. When you do that, you're walking worthy of the vocation which you are called.
Amen.
And you think about what Christ done for you. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was crowned with thorns. They took him up a hill called Calvary. They put nails in his hands and feet. And lifted him up. That was the biggest mistake they ever can do. He said, if I be lifted, I'll draw all men. White, black, Hispanic, Asian, blacksican, whitesican, greensican, all unto me. And then he stopped there. He died. Was put in a tomb. And rose on the third day. For my justification and your justification.
Amen.
So we all should get along. We all should get along.
Amen.
Unity is the key. That was all these lessons Brother Book is teaching about. How to love one another. And he give you the explanation. Through long suffering. Not showing partiality. All that's love. We need to take heed to it.
Amen.
If there's one that don't know the Lord and the part of their sins, Christ died for you. You can be saved today by hearing the gospel, believing it, confessing your sins. I ain't talking about confessing your sin in a prayer, because sinners cannot pray.
Amen.
I'm talking about confessing Christ to be the Son of God. He says, then be baptized. Water right here. I'm pretty sure Dijon, he'll baptize you. Dijon will baptize you. Today. You want to be a Christian. And if there's one who's sinned, God said, come to me and reason together. You confess your sins and you truly repent, he'll forgive you.
Amen.
If there one needs prayer, we got willing brothers right now will pray for you. And if you want, whatever your desire is, you come while we sing a verse of song.